Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and All Mystery Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your host, King Baby Duck, and once again, I'm joined by my best buds from Wicked Anime, Andrew and Jonathan Fleming.
Yo!
Yes, yes, yes. We are going to be talking about a couple things on this episode. We are going to be talking about Rhode Island Comic Con, which all of us went to last weekend.
Yep.
And we are going to be talking about something that I would like to call a lost classic in American cinema.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So, before we get talking, why don't we play a couple songs? And remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these albums and EPs from cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official site, and your local record store. You always support your local artists, you always support your national artists, and you always support your national artists. International artists, I already said national artists. So we're going to start off with a track from the Cro-Magnons. This is a brand new track from their newest album, Gumbo Inferno, which we gave 3.5 stars on the Boston Bash Brigade site. This song is called Spark.
Atama o arate, ushiro wa hi.
all in your selfless love.
With Zero, the opening track from her 2006 album Strip Me. If that song sounded a little bit familiar to you anime fans, that was featured on the show Nana, a very underappreciated shoujo anime that I think a lot of people should definitely check out. Great story, great music, and it has a great mixture of comedy and drama. Have you guys seen Nana before?
No, I have not seen Nana.
Probably. The shoujo does kind of scare me away sometimes.
But so does musical animes. I'm not a huge fan of musical animes.
Well, it's not like musical, like Broadway. It's
no,
like
no, no, no. I mean like Beck and stuff like that.
Oh, really? You didn't really like Beck?
I honestly have never seen Beck, but I just don't really have an interest in them, I guess. I think the only one I'm really interested is K-On!, but that's also a moe blob.
Well, no, because the only other music one that we've seen would be Kids on the Slope.
That's true.
Oh, yes.
But that's because that was from Shinichi.
I love the crap out of Kids on a Slope.
Did any of you ever see Narama Daikon Brothers?
No.
No. Yeah, I'm aware of that one, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's weird, it's crazy, it's stupid, but it's very enjoyable.
Very nice.
All right. So, Rhode Island Comic Con was this past weekend, and we're still trying to scratch our heads as to how we're going to be talking about this, because should we mention something regarding press in the whole application thing?
Well, it's right on the website. I mean, right on the website to Rhode Island Comic Con, they basically say, as doing journalism for this convention, we require that you do not say anything negative or bad in your articles.
Right. And I'm sorry, but that's just bad journalism integrity just waiting to happen.
Yeah, I mean, when you tell somebody to not report on the bad things,
you can't get better.
Can't get better, and it's not real journalism. I mean, life is critique.
Yes,
you really have to take what you've been given.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. people tell us we suck quite often.
Yes.
I used to be told that myself, and that's how I got better, and that's how you guys got better.
Exactly.
So, I guess with that note, Rhode Island Comic Con should probably get better.
It was frustrating.
But
very
I mean,
frustrating.
Yeah, it was fun still. For the people who got in, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, yes. and that's a good start. For the people who got in.
Yeah.
They ran into the same problem that Boston Comic Con happened this year, which was that people got turned away from the door because they got booked over capacity.
Yeah, and in my honest opinion, I think they let in too many people before they decided to book over, before they decided to stop bringing people in. Because even when it was like, when even they were told to not let anybody in, it was still impossible to move at Boston Comic Con. At least at Rhode Island Comic Con, you could still move around when they, closed the doors.
Yeah, because when we were in Rhode Island Comic Con, I never really felt overwhelmed by the crowd.
No.
I only felt frustrated when the guests, when you were going down the alleys with the guests that were there, like all the celebrities and all the wrestlers. There was basically a wall of people, and me and Evan were there. We literally had to walk the other way.
Yeah.
Because we could not get even into that wall of people because it wasn't even moving.
Yeah, it was a wall of flesh and bone, and trying to even budge, trying to even sneak into there, nope, not gonna happen. Not even the tiniest little crevice to even try to climb. You know what, maybe that's what we should try next time. We should climb under legs, do a little bit of like, what is it called? A little like highway underground passage, try to do it that way. Maybe we should do that.
But the good thing about that was while everybody else was crammed in trying to worship their celebrities, all the dealers' booths were pretty clear.
Yeah, so we could have a clear view of everything that we wanted to see and check out what we wanted to purchase.
And that's what I really go to conventions for, is purchases. Because you get to find some really cool stuff from a whole bunch of different sellers.
They had awesome stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Let's put down $40 to go and buy more stuff.
and that's really what I did. Was the majority of my time spent there was looking for things to buy. I didn't buy that many things because I'm saving up all my money for other conventions, but
I walked away pretty satisfied with stuff.
Yes, yes.
I got more games.
Walked away pretty satisfied.
Yeah, I don't even remember what I got.
You got those Thundercats.
Oh yeah, I bought everything Thundercats. I bought 60. I keep saying 60s, but the Thundercats are running around to the 80s. I bought 80s Thundercats toys, and that was the most exciting thing for me because not only were they 80s Thundercats toys, but they were Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat, and nobody makes Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat merchandise. So to find the 80s versions of them as action figures was so awesome.
So they don't even make like the newer versions of them from the newer Thundercats?
They do. They make the smaller versions of them, but like the bigger versions are all the other characters and not Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat. And Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat are also, they're never on the t-shirts. It's always the four main adult Thundercats. Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat are taken off of them. Any kind of merchandise has Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat taken off, and all the other Thundercats are on it.
That's a little bit BS in my opinion.
It is, because they're my favorite characters.
I think you should like create your own shirt then, dude.
I should just have like Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat is small in the corner of the t-shirt and have all these, this huge wide open gap where all the other four are.
Other and write just write other Thundercats.
No, the forgotten Thundercats.
Yeah. I bought board games. I was planning on spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on board games. I was conflicted because they had a tabletop Street Fighter card game that I wanted to try, but it was too much money, so I let that one down. But I think I traded up for some really awesome games. I bought Boss Monster, which is where you play the villain in an 8-bit video game. And you have to destroy heroes, and the more heroes you destroy, the more points you get. And haven't tried it yet, but working on it, it seems really fun. It was recommended to me by the vendors, and they said that the standalone is perfectly fine without the upgrades for now, but I can get the upgrades at any time. And then I also bought Channel A.
That was a blast to play.
It was a blast. It only takes like a minute to play every round, but it was fun every time. You throw down a premise to an anime, like you pick two cards for a premise, and then you throw down title cards to make a title of an anime, and you have to pitch your anime, and the best pitch wins. Yeah. It's such a simple game.
And it's so open to house rules.
Yeah, it's like 10 ways to play. We came up with a tiebreaker rule, which is far better than what they actually had in the...
Yeah, right. Yes, come up with a sequel or spin-off.
Make a sequel. That's
a sequel or OVA.
Yeah, and it was awesome. It was so much fun. So I'm really happy with the board game.
Yeah, I was just kind of disappointed that we had to stop playing it. I mean, I would have kept playing that all day.
Yeah, right.
And then on my end, we've discovered a great little, what would you call it? A video production or licensing company called Vinegar Syndrome. And we talked to these guys for about 10 minutes about the grindhouse and exploitation films that they were selling. And they convinced me to purchase a couple of their videos, one of which is called Raw Force, which we'll be talking about on our next segment. And a film called, Sugar Cookies, which was the first film that Oliver Stone and Lloyd Kaufman did when they got right out of college.
Now, a lot of people know who Oliver Stone is, but remind people who Lloyd Kaufman is.
Okay, so if you've ever seen The Toxic Avenger or anything under the Troma name, then that's Lloyd Kaufman. That's his company. He was the one responsible for releasing Cannibal the Musical, starring the South Park creators. He's the one who did Sergeant Kabuki Man and Poltergeist. And if you ever have played the game Gunstringer from Twisted Pixel, there is a add-on game called the Wave Me Two Man Chronicles, produced by Troma and starring Lloyd Kaufman.
So, so it's pretty big. I mean, Oliver Stone and Lloyd Kaufman in their first movie ever. It's just having that on Blu-ray is pretty
It's just
big.
A piece of history.
Yes, yeah. It's a piece of filmmaking history. It's smut, but it's smutty history. And then we got four other films for free.
Yes, these guys have Vinegar Syndrome. We have to thank them very much because I love these kinds of, even as on the box. What does the box say? It refers to it as sleaze or something like that.
See, I'm reading it right here. Edward Murphy's Raw Force is a virtual smorgasbord of over-the-top sleaze. Zombies, cannibals, outrageous auction, gore, copious amounts of nudity, and starring exploitation greats Cameron Mitchell and Vic Diaz.
That's really sick. We'll be getting more into this.
Yes.
A little bit later, but sticking to Rhode Island Comic Con.
Okay, what about panels and events?
Well, Jonathan here entered in a Street Fighter competition and almost won.
I wrecked house, man. I mean, well, for me I did, cuz I've been in tournaments for like 2 years and I've never won a single round in my entire life. This time I went four rounds deep, which blew my mind.
You actually got to the fifth round and lost.
Yeah, yes. I got to, yeah, because I also went to the loser's bracket and I fought like a really, really tough loser. But I got wrecked after in those later rounds, and I never would have won because the people who were there, they were so super. They were like the people that we fought back when we played seriously in Florida.
But it was really neat.
Cammy's your go-to person, if I'm.
Oh yeah, she's my waifu. but other than that,
your other waifus know that.
I've been using Cammy since Street Fighter 2. And I actually got to play in the tournament for a little while. I got to there was some guy in the losers bracket who thought that who didn't know that tournaments are double elimination. So after he lost, he left. So I took his spot. He was just like, "Is Will here?" So I was like, "I'll be Will." And so I played a round of the loser's bracket, but I got beat. So I didn't even make it one round.
And I've forgotten how much fun it is just to watch like groups of people beat the crap out of each other in a virtual environment.
When the hype's there,
yes.
Yeah. When we started watching those later rounds, the Poison versus. Poison versus Zangief.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Oh man,
that was a great match.
Yeah. Shoot. Sorry.
Thank you, Five Iron Frenzy, for playing us into that.
and then the other event we went to is the Hall of Cosplay or their cosplay contest.
Oh yeah, and there was some really, really talented artists right there. Well, first and foremost, our friend Scott Pretty-Cure was in competition as Sailor Moon, and she does a great job with her outfits.
She did, and she actually there was a lot of improv involved up on stage because they had the Boston Deadpool as the host.
Oh man,
yes,
Boston Deadpool was the host, and
he killed it.
Believe it or not, we know him by first name because the very first Wicked anime video ever features us interviewing him before he was famous.
That's insane, and look at how far he's gone, and as the Boston Deadpool.
I know, I totally forgot to look him up on Facebook and be like, "Hey, Wicked anime likes Boston Deadpool."
Yeah, we'll have to do that later. But I thought it ran pretty smoothly.
When it ran long, at least it was still entertaining because not only just Boston Deadpool, but also the other cosplayers, because they knew what they were going to get themselves into, and they brought their A game to it. For the most part, there were a couple of homestuck people that weren't playing.
Well, there were people who were sitting out in the audience, and they were playing along too. Like when Boston Deadpool would say something, somebody in the audience stood up and yelled back at him, and it worked.
With Boston Deadpool, his jokes on stage were so politically incorrect.
Yes.
And I just loved it. He was so on point and said so many nasty things that he probably should not have said in a room filled with so many people from different...
Especially those two poor children who were standing right in front of us.
Oh, they didn't... They probably didn't even know what they were talking about.
Yeah.
It was just so good. Like, he was such a good host, and it made the event that much better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about the... I think for costumes... The space marine, that was impressive.
Yeah, oh my gosh. That 16-year-old kid who built like a 7 to 8 foot tall space marine, fully working costume over a year.
Yeah, a fully working.
It had like
Warhammer 40K.
He had like an 11-foot long wingspan with a mechanical arm that he controlled from like the elbow point that actually worked.
Like how the suits are actually functional in 40K.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It looked even better than the one that I saw at E3 a couple years ago. That was used to promote the video game.
A lot of talent. Yeah, this kid will, if he keeps making costumes like that and he's only 16, he's gonna get really, really good.
Yeah, and then of course you got one of my favorite costumes was the group that did the like Mad Max Wizard of Oz.
That was weird.
Insane.
Yeah, where like Toto was like a dog man because his DNA was infused with a human, and then the Wicked Witch of the West I thought was pretty cool, where she had like the black mohawk with like the paint on her face, and her broomstick had like a shotgun attached to it. That was funny.
Yeah, it was neat. That was a good group.
Oh, and then the flying monkey that was just a dude wearing aviator stuff, but he had a fan belt jetpack with a working fan on it that shot bellowed smoke.
Yeah,
it was cool. Like it was really talented.
Yeah,
like,
it was really cool.
It was probably some of the best cosplay I've seen in years.
A long time.
Let's see.
What was the character from? What was the villain from the Marvel's universe that was like two M.O.D.O.K. characters in one?
Yeah, M.O.D.O.K.
M.O.D.O.K. who turned into Red Skull.
Yeah, the crowd went nuts when that happened because the funny thing was, the costume was kind of starting to fall apart as he was trying to get up the stage because he was too big for the stairs.
Yeah, we were like, oh, that's a bummer. His costume's falling apart, but then he tore it apart anyways at the end.
Right. It was just part of the act.
Yeah.
Aside from the cosplay contest, what else did we do while we were at the con?
I think that was really it. We tried to eat.
Yeah, that was the point where we figured out thankfully, we stopped ourselves because we saw this huge crowd of people out in the front door, and we realized that the entire hotel was blocked off because you couldn't get to the food court because anybody who left to go to the food court could not come back in.
Yeah, would not go
because
back
it in. Was over capacity. And we were sitting right at the door debating whether or not we should leave.
So, yeah, there's a lot of people who missed out on their photo opportunities that they paid for. Even guests couldn't get back in.
Wow. Yeah, we heard that the guy, Brian something, the guy who played Kyle in the first Terminator movie, he left because he couldn't get back in. That's what Scarlett and Jared said anyway.
I wonder if that's what happened with Michael Jai White.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's right, because he just disappeared. Yeah, which really sucks. But I mean, like, how could you not let a guest back in? I mean, they have their own table set up. Their table is taking up space, so why not let them take up space?
Yeah.
Because when you mentioned that, I was like, wait, I wonder why there weren't the guests that we were looking for.
Maybe.
It's true. I know. Like it was the first
day. That's just it, too. We don't know. We never found out. You know, for all we know, Michael Jai White could have been sitting in that crowd of people waiting in the hotel lobby to come back in. And the security guards look super stressed out.
Yeah.
By the way.
They were not happy. Jonathan and I got to talk to Richard Horvitz.
Yeah.
That was
Invader Zim himself.
Invader Zim, Daggett from the Angry Beavers.
Yeah, but I talked to him about Angry Beavers and Billy from Billy and Mandy.
Yeah, and then I talked to him because he was Raz in
Psychonauts,
which was my favorite game, and he was like, "Oh, that's awesome! Did you fund Broken Age because I'm a part of that?" And or he's like, "Did you get Broken Age?" I was like, "I backed it on Kickstarter." He high fived me. He was like, "You pay my bills."
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Because
did you guys ever watch Zatch Bell, that anime? Because he was Concho May in that series.
We saw a couple episodes, but it was a really, really long time.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, he was the Momoto that was partnered up with that Italian Parco Figore.
Yeah, so while we were with him, I basically was just like, we don't have anything to give you or have you to sign, but I just wanted to let you know that one of the reasons why I work in the animation industry, and one of the reasons why I know voice actors so well, like voice acting and voice actors as their career, is because of characters like Daggett and Billy. And he was just like, "Oh my gosh, thank you!" Like, you know,
yeah, he's a super cool guy. He's super down to earth, and he seems like that he would just be a lot of fun to be around.
I think he is gonna be at Kineticon. So if we get a chance, we should definitely talk to him some more.
Oh yeah, definitely sit down with an interview because that's what I love most is interviewing voice actors, because not only do they talk about how deep they go into their roles, but they can be very off the cuff and very hilarious.
Well, and one of the things that, once we were, Jonathan and I were done talking with him, the next thing that came into my mind was, oh my gosh, I never told him that he was one of my voice, when I was, my very first comic that I have ever wrote, in my whole artist career, I was in, the sixth grade, and I started writing comics, he was the voice of one of those characters in my very first comic ever. And I did not tell him that. I totally forgot. I'd have to save that for the next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll be more flattered than creeped out by that.
Well, because I had a voice cast for the entire cast of that, of my comic book.
Yeah.
So I was just like, man, and you were one of them. I wanted you to play that role. So.
All right. So we've talked a lot about the good stuff. Shall we try to tread into the bad stuff?
I don't know.
We kind of mixed it in there.
Yeah,
I guess.
I mean, what was more bad than people just not being able to get in?
What about douchey PR people?
Oh, well, that was just kind of a pro wrestler kind of thing, I think, going on.
Yeah, that was the problem that we had was that we were not allowed as press to
interview any of the guests, which is part of our job.
Not that we weren't allowed to interview them, but we had to discuss it with the PR people there. That wasn't Boston Comic Con's problem. That was at the discretion of the guests themselves.
Well, Rhode Island Comic Con, not Boston Comic Con.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah. So you had to, but we weren't allowed to contact them beforehand. We had to talk to them at the convention, as to which we were promptly turned away.
Yes.
Yeah, which the PR people were like, sorry, no interviews. But that wasn't for everybody. You really only tried to get Mick Foley's permission, and the PR guy was like, no!
Face.
No Mick Foley for you.
Yep.
Never mind these hot women that are walking up to him sitting on his lap. It's like,
he wasn't sitting on their lap. There was a chair next to him.
Yeah, it was.
Even still, that costume that she was wearing was giving her a colonoscopy.
Yeah, that was like the tightest pants. Those were like the tightest pants I've ever seen.
She must wear them once every 3 years. Yeah, three doctor's orders.
Yeah.
But, you know, thinking back to it, it wasn't as bad as immediately afterwards, but, you know, reflecting on Rhode Island Comic Con, it could have been worse. And at least they're responding to all the negativity. They're already saying, look, we're giving everyone refunds who aren't able to come back in there, and refunds and all the photo ops. We're going to be expanding the Comic-Con, not just to one extra day. It's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But we're also going now into the Dunkin' Donuts arena.
Yeah.
Which is, incredible. That's an entire other convention center. It's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa. I mean, I can't believe it.
Well, that fixes that problem, you know?
That definitely does fix the problem. Yes. I mean, what the heck? That's huge.
I wonder if they're going to actually use the hockey arena for anything.
They probably could. Like they did for Beefake, where they put all the game boards, the board games down on the ice rink.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could, expand the whole, they can make Artist Alley bigger, they can make the guest rooms bigger, they can make the whole, just the place where you buy stuff that I can't remember the name of right now.
We can play lots of rigged carnival games, right, Evan?
Yes, lots of rigged carnival games. Oh, no, you're not using a magnet underneath there so it lands on specific parts. We could buy lots of imported DVDs of Studio Ghibli films and musicals.
The international versions.
Okay, so there's a problem.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
That was probably one of the biggest problems that turned out at the end.
Yeah, and these the Rhode Island Comic Con is not the only convention that we see. I consistently see these guys at every single Comic Con we go to.
And I don't know how they get away with it. And I mentioned this on Facebook. How would Vic Mignogna, who was like sitting like just a yard from one of the bootleg areas, how would he react if he walked by there and noticed that Ouran High School Host Club DVD set?
Yeah, it's ridiculous because they're selling entire sets of anime.
Yeah,
that like complete versions for like $25.
Or how about the entirety of Studio Ghibli's movie collection, animated films for $50?
Yeah, and the thing is too is there is if you walk up to them and say, "Hey guys, how can you even do this?" They say, "Oh no! These are the international international versions, like the ones that weren't sold in state." Then why do they have English dubs on them?
Yeah,
or why does they have the TDK symbol on the DVD?
Exactly. How come there's no image on the disc? It's just a TDK with clear burn marks on the back of
it. Why is there a TVY7 in the corner of my screen?
How come I have Cartoon Network promos in the middle of my videos?
All these questions and more on the next How to Spot a Bootleg.
Well, let me just say this, because I know that you bought the Japanese Spider-Man from there last year.
I did.
I feel like that's the only thing where it's, like, appropriate to buy these sorts of bootlegs, when it's stuff that you can't actually purchase in America.
Yeah, it's not licensed. It's right. Not licensed anywhere. Like, those are even, like, the TV cuts of it. So there's no DVD, nobody owns the license, nobody owns this, nobody owns that. That's when I think buying a bootleg is charming. There's the charm to bootlegs. But if somebody in the United States has the rights to these things and you're literally taking money out of the pockets of other people, which they did with Kill la Kill, Aniplex has Kill la Kill, very expensively are they selling it,
yes.
And very unfairly are they selling it, but it's totally illegal to have the complete series, all 25 episodes of Kill la Kill on DVD on your table.
Yeah, exactly. So how do we do the more you learn here? What's our learning and growing lesson for bootlegs?
It would just be I wouldn't buy. It's just don't support it.
Such a moral gray area because there's so many loopholes that they can do to get into there. Because, I mean, they're even selling Broadway shows on DVD.
Yeah.
Filmed versions of Broadway shows on DVD.
You know what I'm and I won't lie, if there's a Broadway musical that I watch and I really love it, the first thing that I would say is, wow, I wish there was a way I could rewatch this over and over again. And, you know, something like that would be helpful. But I would rather wait for them to hopefully come out with a more...
Kosher...
more finely produced version of it. Kind of like when they used to release, like, all the Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals on, like, VHS back in the old days.
Yeah, I remember that.
Huh. Yeah. I just want to mention that Rhode Island Comic Con is not the only convention I've seen these people at.
Yes.
They were also present at Super Mega Fest, mm-hmm. which is in Massachusetts.
MegaCon in Florida.
They were in MegaCon in Florida, so these people travel all the way across the country to sell at conventions these bootleg DVDs. Like, we literally saw these same people at MegaCon in Florida. So they're everywhere, and every Comic-Con is letting them in, so they must be finding some sort of loophole by calling them international releases to sell these bootlegs.
The loophole.
Yeah.
Just call them international releases.
See, but you never see anything like this at a place like Anime Boston, where Anime Boston strictly in their vendor's logs say you cannot sell bootlegs of any kind. And even if you say international release, they know it's a bootleg.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So you're not fooling anybody. It's just, I don't know. It's just a good way to get a vendor's license.
It is.
A vendor's fee.
And yeah, and it's also, but you also have to be careful because there can be some strict penalties if anybody outside of the convention finds out.
Yep.
Oh yeah, lawsuits out the wazoo.
Yeah, for the convention, not for the vendors.
Well, right. For the vendors too, if like Walt Disney finds out about the Studio Ghibli collection.
Yeah.
Hmm. So.
All right, so my final thoughts on Rhode Island Comic Con, you know, it had its issues, it had its problems, but if they improve on everything, if with them expanding to 3 days instead of two, if with them expanding into the Dunkin' Donuts convention center, I feel like they're going to be doing a much better job next year, and I'm willing to give them another chance.
I am too. I think that I had enough fun that I would go next year anyways.
Yeah, I'm right. I still enjoyed my time at Rhode Island Comic Con. Just get there early.
Yeah.
Get there early. Don't show up in the afternoon. Show up in the morning.
Yes. And don't leave to get food.
Yeah, do not leave to get food. They do have food in there for you.
They did? I didn't see it. Oh, yeah, that little section there.
Dude, did you not have a burger?
Yes, I did. That's why I just remembered.
Stood in line for 30 minutes for that burger.
Yes.
It was actually pretty good, though.
It was.
It was surprisingly good. It was a good convention floor burger.
Came in a box.
Yes.
yes, I would go back to Rhode Island Comic Con. I'm sorry it had issues. As long as they address these issues, which they are, they fix these issues next year, and Anime Boston never has this problem.
We're a little biased.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's a good time. For the most part, it was a good time.
It was.
I really enjoyed it.
Okay. So we're going to take a short musical break, but when we come back, we are going to talk a little bit more about Vinegar Syndrome's release of Raw Force.
Yeah.
What is that?
What is that? But up next, we've got a track from chiptune extraordinaire Robot Sex Music, or as I would like to call it, a Michael Bay film.
Or dubstep.
Yeah, or dubstep. And this comes from an upcoming compilation album from Rhythmus Records that you can pre-order right now on Bandcamp. This song is called Gangsters Drive Slow. We'll be right back.
big. It's all to you, girl.
Accompanied by British singer Craig David, that was Bonnie Pink with Fed Up from 2009's One album. While no new releases since 2012, Bonnie Pink has kept herself busy with being on the tour life. Meanwhile, Craig David has been releasing some sneak peeks for his new album on SoundCloud, though no word on when he plans to unleash that. So, Raw Force from the good people over at Vinegar Syndrome, a company that is bringing back to light those classic grindhouse and exploitation films from yesteryear.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have, I don't know if any of your listeners have ever watched a true grindhouse film.
Or a TNA film.
Yeah, yes. Or a true exploitation film, but they are just
the best.
They are the best with groups of friends. You can't watch it by yourself.
And if you're an adult, they are very much adult apple juice.
Oh, like, yes, they are adult apple juice. They're the Mike's Hard Crisp Apple of movies.
They're party movies, and they're very adult, and they're very awesome, because they're so bad. They're just it's sleaze in a movie, but they're so bad that they are just amazing, like amazing works of cinematic art and history.
Right.
You know?
And it's not like the sleaze that you will see like on the sci-fi movie, like Super Mega Python versus Ultra Super Flood Crocodile.
Yeah. Because, those are Asylum films. These are not Asylum films. These are actually, like, good, like, really fun to watch, you know? They're so fun to watch because they're just so perfectly bad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Explosions that are overlaid on top of the film. Like, I love the part in Raw Force when the boat caught on fire and the fire was, like, clipping because there was no tracking back in those days. So, like, if there was a wall that there was a fire going above, if the camera moved a little bit, the fire would overlay on the wall or float, like, a foot above the wall.
Or even just how the fire started. It was just, like, a beam of red light flashed on the screen.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was just like, whoa, like, I'm in an explosion. Kind of a...
Yeah, and then, like, when they were like, look, there's a fire over there, it was fire jets, like, a close-up shot of fire jets, because the fire was only maybe 2 inches tall, like, a lit candle. But they had to say, like, it's a big fire, you know, so they got really close to it.
Yeah, it was really so fun to watch.
Now, before we even started watching it, we watched the trailer, and it's one of those trailers where it makes it seem like it's a totally different movie because they show just clips from, like, the third act of the movie.
It's so true.
And there was more exposition in the trailer than there was, like, when you watch a Grindhouse or a TNA film, you have to watch the trailer first because there is more information in the trailer than there is in the movie. They explain the characters to you, and they explain what they're doing.
Yeah, they explain.
And then you watch the movie.
Samurais on Warrior's Island.
Yeah, and they explain none of that. Like, they explained, like, that there was a woman who was a cop, and they never mentioned a single time that she was some
sort of
cop.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They never mentioned that she was a secret agent.
She was this movie was essentially what the Mortal Kombat movie turned into when they made the first Mortal Kombat movie, and she was Sonya Blade.
Yes.
And they never explained that in the entire movie.
Yeah.
Well, they did have that part where it was like, hey, they don't have to know that you're a cop. Go up there.
Yeah, exactly. But they gave her a backstory in the trailer. There was like, a cop with a past of something, something. And then, like, it shows her beating people up, beating, big air quotes, people up.
Yeah, it was really not good, but it was excellent. And it's not goodness.
And what I like, too, about Vinegar Syndrome is they don't hide that at all. I read off a bit of it on the previous segment when talking about Rhode Island Comic Con. But they want people to know that these are really horrible films that are just fun to watch.
And they are.
Well, especially because, you know, when we were talking with the Vinegar Syndrome guys, they were just like, we were like, well, we want to get some of your movies, but what movies should we get? And they were like, get Raw Force. Like, Raw Force is the essential one that you need. And then right after that, they said, then you need Sugar Cookies. And here are all these movies for free.
Blow, the death blow. And there was no death blow in this movie.
Dude, you're right. I forgot about that. But the next movie that we have to watch, we do need to watch Sugar Cookies.
Yes.
But the next one that we have to watch is Death Force.
Yes, Death Force.
Which from the straight up cover of it looks like a blaxploitation movie.
Yeah, I love blaxploitation movies. And that's why I got such a kick out of Black Dynamite, because it was every single blaxploitation film. And I wouldn't be too surprised if Death Force was a huge inspiration for Black Dynamite.
Yes, that's so true. It's absolutely true.
Fiendish Dr. Wu.
Yeah. And it's kind of the same thing how they remade Hobo with a Shotgun.
Yes.
Or they didn't remake it, but like Hobo with a Shotgun is a modern day 80s grindhouse film. Like the trailer for Hobo with a Shotgun is even a grindhouse trailer.
Yes.
Which is
on my grindhouse Blu-ray, the Quentin Tarantino Robert Rodriguez movies.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. And then they actually made a movie about it. Because Machete's on there too, right?
Yes, Machete's on there. The only ones they haven't made, and I'm still hoping they do, they haven't made Werewolf Women of the SS, they haven't made Don't, and they haven't made Thanksgiving. Those are three films that I'm still, like, crossing my fingers that somehow they get made. Because those are some very talented filmmakers that could probably expand into creating those films. Because that was Rob Zombie, that was Edgar Wright, and that was Eli Roth.
Wow, really? Man.
Grindhouse 2.
Grindhouse 2.
Yes.
Oh man, but I love grindhouse film. Classic grindhouse films are just so raw and gritty and just so nasty that they're just so good.
All the maple syrup.
Yes, yeah. All the maple syrup.
And you know the exploitation films are just they're so sleazy and so nasty, but they're just great. I mean, I loved the finale to Rob Morris where you know they're leaving the island. It's like, did you set the dynamite? Yeah, we gotta get out of here. Boom!
Everything blows up.
The whole island is just exploding for no reason.
And I'm pretty sure they set up dynamite just on the dock. But like there was explosions in places where they didn't even find the dynamite until like they were hundreds of miles away.
Like wooden huts were exploding because dynamite exploded. And there's nothing that would ignite a wooden hut if the explosion
or the side of a cliff.
Yeah,
or the side of the cliff.
Or the forest. Like, but everything exploded, and it was
or
so
some
fun.
Of the zombies that were not just dummies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, remember that one scene where, like, they were fighting samurai guys, and then there was that one scene where they were fighting ninjas, and there was one samurai guy who was out of makeup.
Like, yeah, he was just, like, some dude with a mustache, like, in the background, like, whoops, I'm on camera, let me swing my sword a little bit.
Look at this watch, whoops, oh, blah, blah.
You didn't say action.
Yeah, and then, and then that ending, man. That ending was...
Oh, yeah, where they ended with the to be continued.
To be continued! What?
There's supposed
to be more?
To be continued to
There's literally nothing more they could do. And somehow they're going to be continue it. I'm still waiting
for Rob Morris. I want to ask those guys from Vinegar Syndrome, if we ever get a chance to interview them, would they make a Raw Force 2 because of that to be continued?
Well, but I think we should make a trailer for Raw Force 2.
I think we should. I think we should at least make like a radio play of sorts.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, because creating bad filmography techniques that they use to like grain it up and stuff is actually not that hard to do with the camera equipment that we already have.
I could do that on my Final Cut Pro.
Yeah. Exactly. So, we could totally do just Raw Force 2. Like, just a trailer. A trailer. You know? Kind of like if you ever saw
the island was the end of it.
Yeah,
but it was just the beginning.
Did you ever see Underbelly and Silvermania? Their video for Paperboy 3?
Yes!
Yeah, the trailer for Paperboy 3 is exactly what we would do for that.
Yeah, what they did was they filmed the whole thing in HD, and then they converted it to VHS, they shook the VHS tape, and then they played it again and recorded that playback.
That's how they did Check It Up with Dr. Steve Brule, actually.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how you do it. You actually have to convert it to VHS,
mm-hmm.
and it will make that, like, that hissy sound, like that hiss sound that is always playing.
And that wind up more?
Yeah, yeah. I love it. I love it so much.
We should sit down sometime and, like, plot out this whole thing and get our other friends from all the other websites involved in it. But
yeah.
How are we going to convince people to be naked in it? That's the question.
We won't. We won't do that.
I just want to land punches from 5 feet away and...
Yeah, oh yeah.
Hi! Oh, the wind knocks me back!
We already have that sound effects, that whoosh, whoosh. So, you know, we... Oh, that would be so fun! That would be so fun!
Yes.
I would have to shave my beard so that I just have a mustache. Like,
and then I think that's one of the things that they probably went through when they were making these films, was this is fun, you know? Because that's... There were movies back in those days that were way, obviously, higher budget. You know, they were making westerns and they were making gangster movies back in the 70s. And yet there were still people out there who wanted to make exploitation and TNA films. You know, so it was a clear set thing that it was like, I want to make this exactly the way I want to. And no one's going to stop me.
And mountains
Get
of coke.
Give me a 30-page script, a mountain of coke, and Jack Daniels. Stat! We will make this movie!
Exactly, that's exactly what I just said. Mountains of cocaine.
Yeah.
And don't forget about Lupin the Third there.
Yes, I wanted to touch on that because there were two things about this film that just made me just go, holy shit! First and foremost, in a small role, is Tony Oliver, a very well-respected voice actor, and my Lupin the Third. If he's ever at a convention, I am going to bring this Blu-ray with me and be like, hey, remember this? And yeah. I don't know how he would react. He would probably end the interview right then and there.
He would just get up, walk out.
And the second thing about this film, the person who did the original score, yes, they actually hired someone to do an original score of this.
Yep.
Walter Murphy, who not only had a hit in the 70s with that disco version of Beethoven's Fifth, but he currently does all the music for Seth MacFarlane stuff. For Family Guy, American Dad, The Cleveland Show, Ted, A Million Ways to Die in the West, Ted 2, he scores all of that.
It's amazing. I remember you freaked out when that credit popped up, you know.
I freaked out both times.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
We actually have to make. We won't do it for Raw Forcing that we already watched it, but we actually should make a video sit down of all of us like watching the movie and actually like doing like some sort of MST3K or even just a discussion while we're watching the movie like we did when we were watching Raw Force.
Well, we could totally do a riff track. Like we could do like an audio version of it and then like have like a video like video montage.
Yep.
We should try and figure that. I think we should do that for Death Force. Let's say it right here. Let's say it on this show. Whenever we watch Death Force, we are going to have a full commentary of this of that movie, and it'll be available for your listening pleasure.
And it will be filmed.
Don't call us racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't call us racist.
Yeah, because even though we haven't seen it yet, though, it looks like a blaxploitation film.
So, to the guys over at Vinegar Syndrome, thank you so much for introducing us, or reintroducing us, to this world of grindhouse and exploitation. We will be talking about more of their films at a later date, but I want to just extend an invitation right here and now. Please come on our show, come on our shows, either on No Borders No Race, One on One, or Wicked Anime. Well, let's talk exploitation, let's talk grindhouse, and let us just have a lot of fun just talking about these movies, because I reckon you guys are a great bunch of people.
Yeah, that's very true, because, you know, if anybody has Amazon Prime, they actually have a couple of these on Amazon Prime. I don't know if it's from Vinegar Syndrome, but they do actually have exploitation films on there, and some of them are modern day from Japan. They still make exploitation films in Japan.
Oh yeah. The guy who does like Machine Girl and Robo Geisha.
And a few that we will be putting into the hardcore anime panel for Anime Boston this year.
Yeah, like there's one that I saw on there. I forget what it was called. I think it was like Military Jail or something like that.
Well, and there's another one coming out which we're actually going to play the trailer for at Anime Boston called Stacy.
Yeah,
yes.
Which hasn't come out yet. Yeah.
Yes. Was it 42 Believer that sent it our way? Or?
Yep. Sarah from 42 Believer, she did send that over to us. So we will be playing that at Anime Boston.
Excellent. All right, guys. Thank you again for coming on to No Borders, No Race. And we will, let's do our little promo stuff. Does that sound good?
Yes, sir.
All right. So remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com and on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and facebook.com/landofesh. Don't forget to check out egmnow.com/electricsisterhood for all of our various written reviews within the gaming and anime world, and don't forget about the other podcasts under the Land of Ash, including Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
Yeah, all right, good at that.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually added a couple things to that one this time around.
I noticed.
Mm-hmm. All right. And if you guys want to listen to some wicked anime or watch some wicked anime, you can find us at nerdyshow.com/wicked anime. Where we have our own podcast, where Evan guests every once in a while. We also have videos, where that is the bread and butter of Wicked Anime, is all of the videos that we have for you guys. You can find those videos also at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. And if you want to join in any discussions that we have on our show, you can email us anytime you want with anything you want to say at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we have frequent news and updates on anything that you want to know about us. You can find us on SoundCloud as well with our podcast. You can find us on iTunes with our podcast. Please rate and review. You can find us on Twitter. You can tweet at us at @YoWickedAnime. And let's see, you can find us on Tumblr, where we tumble things. And new to our list, you can find Nerdy Show at Patreon, where if you want to help the Nerdy Show Network grow, you can subscribe a certain amount, even just $1 a month, to Nerdy Show. And if we get us up to $700 a month, we might actually be able to get some higher quality stuff as we all get paid.
But when you even give just a dollar to the Nerdy Show, you get outtakes, you get hours of stuff, you get all that kind of stuff, even stuff from us. We're gonna start putting some outtake reels together from our podcast and everything. Maybe.
But you only get that if you pay.
Yeah, everything's still free, but you get all the extra stuff, hours upon hours of extra stuff if you just pay a dollar.
That's right. I feel like you should make like some fake video bloopers.
Fake video bloopers. We have real video bloopers.
Are you kidding me? It takes us an hour to make a 2-minute video.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you again for coming on. We're going to be hanging out at the Cuckoo Kangaroo Bright Primate Show. It's Saturday. Was it Saturday, November 22nd?
Yep.
At the Middle East Upstairs. Get tickets for that because those guys put on a hell of a show that everyone should check out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. You know, I think I might talk to the guys beforehand, see if we can convince them to do something before they go on stage, or maybe a little something for our podcast shows.
Like the Bright Primate guys?
Well, both Bright Primate and maybe even Cuckoo Kangaroo.
It's true. It'll be interesting to see what they want to do.
Yeah, let's stay tuned, folks, because who knows what's going to happen. So, we're going to end today's show with a track from... Well, actually, no. Before we do that, I want to give another shout-out to the guys over at I Am Think.
Oh, yeah, man. We met up with Anthony at Rhode Island Comic... Anthony from I Am Think at Comic-Con, where he took a whole bunch of great pictures.
Yes.
Of the con.
Yes, please, go like them on Facebook. Like also Scarlet Rhapsody, because of Scarlet and Jared. Those guys are also pretty cool. Let's see. Were those the only guys we ran into at the convention?
From the media, anyways.
Yeah. at least from a media perspective that we know on a personal basis.
Yes.
Both Scarlet Rhapsody, those they are so cool. And I am the guys from I Am Think. They're some of the nicest press people we've ever met. They definitely need all the follows and all the likes that you guys can give them because they are just so fun to talk to.
Exactly. Please go and listen to their stuff. Watch their stuff. They're a great bunch of people. Read their stuff because they have a great insight into the geek culture. Probably even equally as good as what we do.
They're versed in different aspects.
Versed in different aspects. All right. So we're going to end today's show with a track from the new album from The Pillows. Yes, the band that really started it all for No Borders or Race. We gave a 5-star review for this album, Moondust, and it is currently the top contender for this year's album of the year.
Awesome.
That's that good. That's how much it surprised me.
Shooting star.
From Moondust, this song is called Prairie Rider. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
This is Jonathan from Wicked Anime.
This is Andrew from Wicked Anime.
Reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard.
But it sure helps. That was messy, but it sure helps.
Yes. Yeah.
99.